What's today?
Halloween. You have your costume picked out? I want to know if the candy bowl is full. Ready for those trick-or-treaters? I don't know. I guess I'm definitely getting older. Do they still soap windows? Do you do that? Yes, no. Do you soap windows still? Oh, we've moved beyond soaping windows. Oh, that's too bad. No. I'll never forget my first night's experience soaping windows. I want to tell you this story. My very first time. I was about 11 or 12 years old. We had a Halloween party in town every Halloween at the elementary school. The PTA put on a party every single year. My sister and I would go. I was 11 or 12, so I was just, I had outgrown the party. But I remember so well that night, we took my sister, dropped her off at the Halloween party in town, and I decided I wasn't going to hang around there. I was too big and mature for that kind of stuff now, you know. So I went soaping windows. Yes, I did. Remember walking down the street, had a big bar of Ivory soap stuck in my pocket. Just walked a short distance down the street from the school, and there were a couple cars, and I'm looking around, making sure nobody's looking, coast is clear. Whipped out that bar of soap and put it back in, and do-do-do-do-do-do-do. Walked down, next car, do-do-do-do. And I don't know what I was doing, you know, I think about it, but it was fun. But, you know, these cars already had soap on them, so it was no big deal. But I just had to add a little more to make myself feel good, I guess. And then I saw it. I'll never forget it. There was a car sitting there, no soap. The windows were clean. My heart was pounding. I was so excited. I went up and I thought, oh, this is it. I pulled out my soap and shoo, on the driver's side. Now, I had two rules, and my mother pounded this in me. You never soap the windshield and don't get caught. I was really careful. I just did the driver's side window, and I made sure nobody was around, nobody saw me or anything. And I put the, Z like Zorro. You know, I thought, that's my mark for tonight, the Z. Went down the street, got another car. That was already soap, but I just added a little more. And then as I'm walking, I'm about 100 yards now from the school probably, and I look down, and down the street, here comes a car. I thought, put the soap back in my pocket. You know, I need to act real calm and innocent and so on as I walked, strolled down the street, and it's getting closer and closer, and I recognize the car. It's an old station wagon, dark color station wagon, but it was the town cop. I thought, I know what he's looking for, and I'm just going to either hide behind a tree or try to, you know, walk like I'm real innocent down the street. Well, it was Mr. Walworth. Mr. Walworth was a tremendous person. He had a store on Main Street. He was a TV repairman, sold televisions. The store was 75 yards from my grandma's house. And Mr. Walworth, it's also the place where you could buy real penny candy. You'd have jars in there. You walk in, grab a handful, and it was real penny candy. And it's also the place in town where we went to get ice cream cones. Didn't have a Tasty Freeze or anything. And it was a nickel a dip. I know I'm showing my age. But you know how that, a nickel a dip on an ice cream cone. And that's where we went, Mr. Walworth's store. He knew everybody, everybody knew him. He was a town cop, he was a TV repairman, and he was the after-school crossing guard as well across Main Street. So he knew every kid in town, and of course we all knew him. But yeah, he walks by, and I'm kind of walking along and look at him, you know, and he waves at me. Oh, hi, Mr. Walworth, how you doing? And he's walking down, I wait till he disappears, and I'm looking for my next victim. You know, I found another car with no soap on it. Zorro was here, and off I went. Well, I was doing really well, and after I think I probably just got cold and stuff, and decided to head for Grandma's house where I knew I could get warm and such. And between Grandma also lived right behind the post office, and between the post office and a sporting goods store right next to a Boop store, sporting goods store, there was a parking lot. It was very, very dark. And that was my shortcut always to Grandma's front door. I just cut through the parking lot. As I cut through the parking lot, I noticed there was a car sitting there. And it's dark, you know, no lights are on. The car's just sitting there. I thought, oh, I got to check this out. This is my last one before I go to grandma's house. And I got closer and no soap on this car. Nothing. I thought, oh, I hit pay dirt again. And I pulled out my soap and I run up to the car and I start to leave my Z. And all of a sudden I'm looking inside and I see this red glow in the, inside the car. And it's real dull red, you know, a little glow thing. And all of a sudden it got brighter and bigger. And then it went down again. And then it got brighter and bigger, and then it went down again. And it hit me. Oh, I'm going to die. Mr. Walworth smoked cigars. I looked at the car real quick. It's a station wagon. And then it got really bright and red, and it lit up his face, and he's smiling at me. Oh, I thought I was going to, I'll be in jail for the rest of my life. I remember this so well. Like it happened yesterday, I remember this so well. Put the soap in my pocket, grandma's house. Right away. Yeah. Happy Halloween. I hope it's needless to say, I never went soaping again. That was it. That was it. Halloween is big business. Big, I didn't realize, big business. I looked this up. According to the U.S. Census Bureau, last year, 2009, there were 36 million trick-or-treaters. Oh, my word. 36 million trick-or-treaters. And that's just kids age 5 to 13. Doesn't count the younger ones and sure doesn't count all the older ones. That's just 5 to 13, 36 million trick-or-treaters last year. Now, you think about that and compare the fact that the average American eats 24.3 pounds of candy every year. That's a lot of sugar. A lot of sugar. The National Retail Federation's Halloween survey says that we will spend about $4.75 billion on Halloween. $4.75 billion on Halloween. And oh, they say, don't forget that we grow 1.1 billion pounds of pumpkins every year in this country. Halloween is really, really big business. But I think if you read Deuteronomy chapter 18, you get a different take. You get a different look at Halloween. And you get the feeling that Halloween, not only is it big business, but it's also deadly business. That's our scripture, Deuteronomy 18, 9 through 13. Deuteronomy 18, verse 9. When you enter the land the Lord your God is giving you, do not learn to imitate the detestable ways of the nations there. Let no one be found among you who sacrifices his son or daughter in the fire, who practices divination or sorcery, interprets omens, engages in witchcraft, or casts spells, or who is a medium or spiritist, or who consults the dead. Anyone who does these things is detestable to the Lord. And because of these detestable practices, the Lord your God will drive out those nations before you. You must be blameless before the Lord your God. Let me begin by making an observation. Note the word, and this is the NIV translation, note the word detestable. It happens in verse 9, and it happens twice in verse 12. God says these are detestable things. Well, detestable is describing something or someone who is disgusting or is filthy. So God is saying all these kind of things he lists there. In his eyes, they are disgusting. They are filthy. And he's telling the Israelites, stay away from them. Don't imitate them. Be blameless in my sight. I want to add a second observation, that all of these detestable things that God is listing, and you look at that list, all of them happen on Halloween. Every one of them. So I'm going to propose to you that I think God would say that Halloween is detestable in his eyes. Wow. You mean trick-or-treating and just getting candy, having fun is detestable? Well, let's look a little further, but think about that with me this morning. Why? Well, let's think about it for a minute. The earliest celebration of Halloween began by the Celts. They lived about 2,000 years ago. And in their religion, the Celtic religion, there were Druids. And Druids were their priests, their high priests. And the Druids celebrated a holiday called the Vigil of Samhain. Samhain was one of their false gods. Samhain was the Lord of Death. And when they observed this holiday called the Vigil of Samhain, it was on and is on, because there are still Druids, it's on Halloween. It's on Halloween. And this celebration included human sacrifices. When Moses wrote this, you know, Deuteronomy 18, when Moses wrote this, the people are getting ready to enter the promised land. And that's what he says. When you enter the land, the promised land you're about to enter into, remember the promised land was inhabited by the Canaanites, pagan people. The Canaanites practiced human sacrifices. The first thing that God says through Moses, what's he say? When you enter there, verse 10, let no one be found among you who sacrifices his son or daughter in the fire. That's what they did. They sacrificed their children to their false god Moloch. And God says, no, don't do that. The Druids, 2,000 years ago, performed human sacrifices. The Canaanites sacrificed their children. And God is saying, no, don't imitate them, don't be like them. Did they listen? 2 Kings 17. Did the Israelites listen? 2 Kings 17, verse 13. The Lord warned Israel and Judah through all his prophets and seers, turn from your evil ways. Observe my commands and decrees in accordance with the entire law that I commanded your fathers to obey and that I delivered to you through my servants, the prophets. But, there's that little word, but they would not listen. Now this is the Israelites. They would not listen. And were as stiff-necked as their fathers, who did not trust in the Lord their God. They rejected his decrees and the covenant he had made with their fathers and the warnings he had given them. They followed worthless idols and themselves became worthless. They imitated the nations around them, just what Moses told them not to do. They imitated the nations around them, although the Lord had ordered them, do not do as they do. And they did the things the Lord had forbidden them to do. They forsook all the commands of the Lord their God, and made for themselves two idols, cast in the shape of calves, and an Asherah pole. They bowed down to all the starry hosts, and they worshiped Baal. Remember, Baal is a false god. Look at verse 17. They sacrificed their sons and their daughters in the fire. Exactly what God said, don't do. That's what the Canaanites were doing. Israel did not obey. They They practiced divination and sorcery and sold themselves to do evil in the eyes of the Lord, provoking him to anger. Did they listen? Nope. Are we listening? Tonight at midnight. Tonight at midnight, hundreds, I don't know the number, maybe thousands, I have no idea, I'm thinking about around the whole world, hundreds of children are going to die. They're going to be sacrificed around midnight tonight. Does that mean anything to us? Does that mean anything to us? I'd like to show a quick video clip. You have that? It's two minutes long. Just watch this quick.
Glenn, you've now been a Christian for some time. What is your reaction when you see Halloween celebrated by people?
Whenever Halloween time starts coming around, at the 1st of October, you go into the stores, you see the costumes, you see the mother with her little girl putting the witch's hat on her, and the little boy getting excited about getting the devil mask, and you see the candy, you see the Halloween pumpkins, you see people decorating their houses with skeletons and all these symbols of death. You know, it only serves to bring back horrifying memories to me. Memories of death, memories of children being so abused, so ripped of everything, their character, all in the name of Satan. If a person could really stop the next time they go into that store and realize that there are children who are going to lose their life because people are taking this a step further. There are people out there who don't just celebrate Halloween with trick-or-treat candy. This is a religious holiday to them. This is something that is holy and sacred, and they are taking innocent human life. I can't say, go ahead and have Halloween fun. It doesn't matter if you're participating in Halloween, even if you're not a Satanist, you know, if it's just for fun. No, because these Satanists are using this as a smokescreen.
Glenn, you said that Halloween...
I know some of us are probably thinking, no way. No way. People don't do that. It's just a night to have fun and get some candy. And for a lot of us, of course, that's true. But there's a whole lot more to it. It makes me think, I hope it makes you think. What are we doing? What are we doing? As Christians, what are we doing? What are we doing? I think Halloween is detestable in the eyes of God because it glorifies death. Jesus said, I came to bring life. But Halloween glorifies death. God is not honored on Halloween. In fact, God's not even mentioned. Satan, witches and demons, vampires, Dracula, they're all mentioned and honored. But you don't hear anything about God. I have yet to see a Halloween night when they showed, you know, that famous movie, The Ten Commandments. But you know what they're going to show. They've been showing it for the whole month. Several of the cable television shows, the whole month, they show every scary movie they can find, every blood and guts movie they can find. Not one of those honors God. Not one. We're saturated with them. God is not honored. The Bible teaches that Satan and demons are enemies of mankind. They're enemies of God. The Bible describes Satan as the god of this world, the prince of this world, the prince of the power of the air. He's a roaring lion. He's the father of lies. And yet, at Halloween time, he gets worshiped. His evil purpose is to receive as much power and worship as he can. He opposes God's work and he discourages believers. Ronnie Thrower wrote these words. Satan's purpose is to hurt and cut the heart of God. Hurt and cut the heart of God. Why? Because God has judged and condemned him for rebellion against God. Therefore, Satan does all he can to get back at God. Satan does this by turning men away from the Lord Jesus Christ. The whole month of October, some of our TV stations, it seems like they do everything they can to turn us away from Jesus. There are seven holidays on the witch's calendar, seven major holidays. Halloween is the first one. For a witch, Halloween is New Year's Eve. Okay, that's how they measure their calendar. Tonight is New Year's Eve for them. And it's the number one holiday on the witch's calendar. This is the big one. It's Halloween. Halloween is all about worshiping Satan and offering sacrifices to him. It glorifies him. Hear it again. Verse 9. When you enter the land the Lord your God has given you, do not learn to imitate the detestable ways of the nations there. Verse 13. You must be blameless before the Lord your God. Blameless. Let me finish my story. Gotta finish my story. My sister and I went trick-or-treating as kids. I already mentioned the school Halloween party that we went to. My last year, my friend and I won first place. They judged the costumes. We were a clothesline. I thought that was pretty creative. We were dressed in burlap, and he was dressed in burlap. We were poles. We had ropes strung between us. They hung clothes on the rope with clothespins. We were clothesline. Got first place. I was proud of that. Later in my adult life, I helped a volunteer, local volunteer fire company do a haunted, like not a haunted hayride, but like a haunted ride or something. Haunted trail, I forget what it was exactly, but went really well. Lots of people came, made lots of money, raised a lot of money for the fire company that year. Then one day, I got a letter from my mother. Boy, I wish I still had that letter. I don't. Boy, I wish I had it. Apologizing to me for all the Halloween stuff. It floored me. You know that school Halloween party put on by the PTA? My mother was the chairperson of the Halloween party for like 4 years in a row. I remember helping her get ready for it. I remember helping her decorate the school when I was older. And she wrote me a letter. She said, I'm so sorry. She said, if I knew then what I know now about Halloween, I never, ever would have done that. Well, that got me thinking. That really got me thinking. So how can we be blameless? I want to finish with just a couple ideas. Some of you already do this and such, but just some ideas. What do you do with Halloween, you know? The kids want to dress up. They want to get candy. You know, what do you do? It's a parent's dilemma in a lot of ways. A couple different ideas. How do you handle Halloween? Be blameless. One idea is don't participate. Just say no. We don't dress up. We don't go trick-or-treating. We don't watch those dumb movies on TV. We don't, when the trick-or-treaters knock on the door, we don't answer the door. Just say no. That's one possibility. There are others. And what challenged me, the idea is, like, you know, how do you take the trick out of trick-or-treating? You know, that's what I like to do. I like to throw Halloween right in Satan's face. How about if we dressed up like Bible characters instead of monsters and ghouls and vampires and witches? Dress up like Bible characters. You know, and you're not, you know, and people say, well, who are you supposed to be? Wow, what a chance to witness. I'm King David. Huh? Yeah, the Bible says that King David was a man after God's heart. Oh. 15-second witness. Instead of, you know, I'm Count Dracula. What an opportunity. What if, and I've never done these, I was just thinking about these myself, but others have. What if you know, trick-or-treat and you get your candy, and before you leave the house, what if you say, oh, can I pray for you? Two-sentence prayer. God bless this house. And then leave. After they get up off the floor because they just fainted. Think of the witness. It took 15 seconds. A prayer. Pray for that family. Here's one that I read about. Never dawned on me. I was having too much fun soaping windows. Offer to wash their car. They give you candy. You give them a little, make a homemade coupon. One free car wash. Man, I've been washing cars for days if I did that. But hey, take the trick out of trick-or-treating. Do something different. For a witness, you know? What did I have here? Oh, yeah. I've got one right here. When the kids come to the door, you know, and you give them a candy bar, give them one of these. Our little pamphlet we use for advertising our church. It has in here church times, Sunday school times, what we do. Give them a candy bar and give them this too. Simple. I wonder, maybe next Sunday they'll show up in church. Wouldn't that be awesome? How do you take the trick out of trick-or-treating? I'm sure you have other ideas I need to finish, but just some thoughts. One last thing. I'm really personally challenged by this idea of tonight at midnight, children being sacrificed. That bothers me a whole lot. Here's what I'm going to do. I invite you to join me. About 11:45 tonight, I'm going to come here for the purpose of prayer. I want to pray for those children. I want to pray for the adults who are going to do it. I want to pray for changed hearts. I invite you to join me here at 11:45 tonight. Real simple prayer meeting. 5-10 minutes and go home. I know it's late. Got to go to school tomorrow. Got to go to work tomorrow. Good grief, you stayed up later that last night watching Penn State win. Or watching a World Series game or whatever. You know. Well, I invite you to come here tonight and join me about, like I said, about 11:45 for a prayer meeting. I'm going to take Halloween away from the enemy. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for this time and your word. I know this is very challenging. It's challenging for me. It's really challenging for parents. Lord, what do we do with this thing? Our culture is just saturated with this Halloween thing. Lord, help us. Give us wisdom. I pray, Lord, that we would feel the need and see the need and see how to change it, to take the trick out of trick-or-treating, Lord, to put you in it, to turn Satan on his heels. Lord, I pray that tonight the church will shine, that Jesus will be glorified, not the enemy. In your name, amen.